Georgia Speaker of the House David Ralston is one of the most powerful lawmakers in the state. But Speaker of the House isn't his only job. Ralston is also an attorney running a private law practice. A new investigation from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and Channel 2 Action News alleges that Ralston misused his power as a lawmaker to reschedule court proceedings 57 times over 2 years. And that was a delay in justice for dozens of Georgians. Here to discuss that investigation and what that can mean for victims is Johnny Edwards, an investigative reporter at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Thanks for joining us, Johnny.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So let's talk a little bit about who David Ralston is for non-Georgians out there.
Well, as you said in your introduction, he is one of the most powerful lawmakers in Georgia, if not the most powerful, actually powerful political figures in Georgia. The way the system works here, if you're the Speaker of the House, you're pretty much on par with the governor for how much power you wield. You know, nothing, no bill, no budget, nothing gets through without your approval. He has the ability to assign committees, you know, committee chairs, that sort of thing. So it has incredible influence. And what we're finding right now is just everybody in the state who's in any position to take any action or launch any inquiry about this is either falls under the category of being in fear of him or indebted to him.
I just mentioned 57 times that Ralston was able to delay cases over 2 years. How has he managed to do that?
We examined about 2 dozen cases in just in 4 counties, and that's not all the counties in these circuits, so there's probably a lot more out there that we didn't capture. But that's 57 times that he wrote to the judge in these cases and said, I'm not going to be in court because I have other legislative duties and obligations, or I'm in session. So the issue is that there's a state law that dates back more than a century that any lawmaker who is also a practicing attorney does not have to be compelled to go to court if they have legislative business. Now, for the majority of that time that law was enacted, it was just during the session, which in Georgia is a 40-day legislative session each year. And the law also covered 3 weeks after that. In 2006, there was an amendment made to the law which covered any legislative business year-round. And because Mr. Ralston is the Speaker of the House, he can come up with all kinds of other reasons all year-round that he can't be in court. And it might be something so mundane as giving a speech to a Rotary Club, or it might be something important like attending a bill signing, or it could be, you know, meeting at the Capitol to discuss staffing issues. But the issue is he's got all of these cases pending, and a lot of these are serious cases, very heinous crimes people are accused of, people who've been victimized, and he is delaying the cases over and over and over and over, and that benefits his law practice. That is a benefit to his clients.
Let's talk a little bit more about the cases. And you're saying that that David Ralston's private practice would benefit from this. Tell us a little bit about what types of cases have been delayed and how he would benefit.
Well, there's a saying that a criminal defense is a lot like wine. It gets better with age. So as time passes in these cases, all kinds of things happens that chips away at the prosecutor's case, like, you know, witnesses back out. Victims get exasperated and back out of testifying or pressing charges. Police officers who investigated the alleged crime might retire or move jobs or even get fired, quit the force. Evidence disappears. Not to mention just it's easier to impeach a witness on the stand because their memory gets so fuzzy. But these cases range from things like DUIs all the way up to child molestation. There was a case many years ago where probably the first victim to speak out about this was a woman whose husband and daughter had been killed in a car accident, and Mr. Ralston represented the driver of the other car, and that case lingered for more than 8 years, and she raised quite a fuss, spoke to the television news station Channel 2 several times and was speaking out about this, and that finally got resolved. But we took a look at this issue again several years later, and we found, like I said, child molestation, child cruelty, terroristic threats, assault, domestic violence, you know, all kinds of serious crimes people are charged with.
And I'm wondering if this is considered an obstruction of justice for the folks who have their cases delayed.
I don't know if that would fall technically under the statute of obstruction of justice. He's pretty much covered legally because this law is written so strictly and so clearly. Another issue here, another dimension, is why, you know, judges in these circuits have not done more to move these cases along. I mean, there is a way that a judge using the state bar rules could demand candor to the court and could have said, okay, Mr. Ralston, you've missed all these court dates and this is dragging on very long, and you seem to be doing this in a strategic way. You know, I want to know when you can be in court. Give me a date and we'll do it. And I'm not sure, that might not have happened in some cases. It's just not in the records and nobody's talking to us, so we can't know for sure. But it certainly isn't happening on a consistent basis. And I think one reason for that is because he wields so much power, because he is so influential. I mean, he wields an incredible amount of influence over the judicial system. He has two appointments to the Judicial Qualifications Commission, which can investigate and recommend discipline against judges. He also has influence in recommending judges to be appointed to benches and things like that. So the bottom line is, I don't think many people up there, especially in his backyard, want to cross him or tangle with him.
What's the public response been, and is there any sort of ethics board that can hold him accountable?
Well, there is the House Ethics Committee, which, again, just by the very definition, House Ethics Committee, you can imagine that he's going to wield a lot of influence there, too. The public response has been, from where I'm sitting, pretty overwhelming. I mean, Twitter's been blowing up. I mean, I was sitting here just right now trying to respond to some of the many emails I've received. We're hearing that legislators are getting, just getting dozens and dozens of calls and emails to their offices, but that's not translating to any outpouring of, voicing any protest by any of the lawmakers themselves. They're being completely quiet. They're not speaking publicly. They're just going about business as usual. And the reason we're getting off the record is, again, nobody wants to cross Mr. Ralston. I'm hearing from all these readers who are saying, just like you're asking, what can be done? Who can someone change the law? Can someone hold them accountable? And I'm just telling them, I just don't know how this is going to shake out. I mean, there's several different avenues, but all of those are kind of in some way compromised by his influence or his power.
Johnny Edwards is an investigative reporter at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Thanks for your reporting, Johnny.
No, thank you. Thanks for having me.